You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out
door. Come over here, kid. Wait, sir. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. How you doing this evening? I'm Michelle Anna Jordan, and we've got some great stuff here in the studio. But first, there's a couple things I want to tell you about. I hope you have a pen and paper. Sometime later in the show, I'm going to be giving away two tickets to the upcoming Hoppe show down at Jewish Community Center, Osher Marin Jewish Community Center. It takes place next Saturday, July 27th. Hoppe takes the stage at 7:15. Before that, I think it's at 6:15. Yeah, doors open to the public at 6:15, at which time you can buy a Hawaiian dinner if you would like to do that. And just find you there are chairs, there's lawn seating. And then at 6:40, Kumu Hula Shana Alapa'i, who has the halau based in Marin and happens to be my kumu, she and some of the members of the halau are going to be giving a hula lesson of sorts to the audience. And I promise it's going to be really, really fun and lighthearted and interesting. There will be a brief hula performance at 7 o'clock, and then Hoppe, an amazing duo. It's one of those duos that sounds like there's 10 people. The sound is just so big and full and beautiful. They take the stage at 7:15. There will be an intermission as well. So it's a great evening, a great evening. Tickets at the door are $25. But I have a pair of tickets that I will be giving away a little bit later. I will tell you, we'll take a Hawaiian musical break. And anyway, so that's happening. It's next Saturday. And one of the reasons that I'm not doing it right away is please check your calendars. I can't tell you the number of times I've given tickets away, and then it turns out the person forgot to check. And it's like, oh, I can't go after all. So I'm really hoping to give these tickets to someone who can actually make this great show. And then I also wanted to tell you about two other events coming up this week. Sort of have a habit of not, I don't really like to talk about things that I'm doing, but I'm going to tonight. Next Friday, July 26th, there's a special dinner at DeVero Tasting Room on West Side Road in Healdsburg. The dinner is based on my new book, Vinaigrettes and Other Dressings. It is featuring several courses, three appetizers. And then I know the first course is burrata with some beautiful heirloom tomatoes and a nice light vinaigrette. The main course will be fresh caught, and I mean just out of the water and off the boat, wild salmon, roasted peppers with a caper vinaigrette, grilled eggplant with tahini and sesame dressing. And for dessert, I'm going to do my insanely weird and delicious roasted strawberries with black pepper, balsamic vinegar, gelato, and chocolate vinaigrette. And it's really honest. It's really, really good. And the reason I'm talking about it is we had a very large party. And by large, I mean like 10 to 12 people, something like that. This dinner maxes out at about 28 people, so it's a really small, intimate event. They were coming from out of the area, and they canceled because the vacation rental that they thought they were getting was all of a sudden unavailable. So for this dinner to fly, we need to round up some people. It's going to be really fun. We have appetizers, wine, and just talk about the garden and farm there at the Devera Tasting Room at 6. Then we sit down somewhere between 6:30 and 7 at one really long table, all eating together. It really is a wonderful night, and any proceeds I'm doing, and I can also talk about this because I'm not making money. I'm just doing it gratis. Everyone who attends gets a copy of my book, a signed copy of my book, and all the proceeds go to this wonderful scholarship fund in for Hillsburg High School's students of farm workers, and the eligibility is based not so much on achievement as it is on effort. So students who work really hard are eligible for this scholarship. So it's a really good cause. It's a really great setting, and I promise it will be fabulous food. And that takes place next Friday night at 6 p.m. And if you want information to consider going, just go to devero.com. It's DAVERO.com. People from Devero, of course, have been guests here on Mouthful many times. They make what may be the finest olive oil in the United States. Really wonderful. Ridgely Evers is the founder and the pioneer in reviving Italian varietal olive oil in Sonoma County. And then finally, on Wednesday, I'm going to be speaking at the Hillsburg Wine Library at 7 o'clock. That is a free event. And I've been making the rounds of all of the local branches of the library this year. They invited me to be their author this year. So I'll be up there in Hillsburg, and you know, it'll be really fun. If you happen to be at the Hillsburg Wednesday Farmers Market, you can just pop on over to the library after that. And I think at this one, most of the events so far have been in the morning. This one's going to be in the evening, and I think we're going to have refreshments. So there you go. If I talk too fast... there. Microphone's better. Gosh, I hope you heard me. If I talk too fast, you know you can always send me an email, catsmilk@sonic.net, about any of this information. And so stay tuned. We will be giving away tickets in a little bit. And now we're going to shift our attention to apple season. I hear that the first Gravensteins are going to be picked sometime within the next 4 or 5 days. And one of the things that will be happening is cider will be being made. Cider is making a comeback, second or third comeback, I think, in the last 20 years. We've had some really great cider, and then for reasons I don't know, they've gone away, and now they're back. So we have with us Jolie Devoto Wade of Devoto Farms, which has just the most glorious flowers. Oh, I love the flowers from Devoto Farm, and also wonderful apples. And we also, and the name of your cider company, Jolie, is, don't tell me, Applesauced Cider.
Yes, ma'am.
There we go. And then also with us is Ellen Cavalli.
Hi.
We're trying to figure out why we know each other. And remind me of the name of your... It's Tilted...
Tilted Shed Cider Works.
Tilted Shed. Okay, it was pretty
there
close.
Is a Tilted Shed.
Yes. Yeah. So how long have the two of you been making cider? I mean, it's two different companies. You started what, last year?
We started making ciders commercially last year. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And how about you, Ellen?
The same.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels between our two companies.
Uh-huh. What motivated you? And just jump on in, either one of you.
Well, I'll take that one first. Our customers at the farmers market were encouraging us for years to make cider.
Mm-hmm.
We sell a lot of apples direct to our customers.
Mm-hmm.
Our farm, Devoto Gardens and Orchards, attends maybe 10 or so farmers markets in the North Bay in San Francisco. And some of them introduced the idea of cider. I never really knew what it was until I took this trip to Spain with my husband. Well, he's my husband now. He wasn't then. And we learned all about cider making.
In Spain?
In Spain.
Oh, interesting. Whereabouts in Spain?
In the Basque Country in Asturias.
Okay, Basque.
Northern Spain.
Yeah, Northern
exactly.
Spain. And how about you, Ellen?
Well, we always like to say ours is a hobby gone wild, which is usually the worst way things get started. And I always caution people when they start talking about making a few batches of cider at home because you're going to get in deep sometimes. My husband, Scott Heath, and I, we used to live in northern New Mexico. We had a little farm there in a little valley. in a little town called Dixon, New Mexico, which was an old farm community, and there were these old orchards. And we got there because we wanted to do a small-scale organic market farming. But we had this old orchard, and we had just had a baby, and there was this huge bumper crop of Jonathan and Golden Delicious and, you know, just the wine saps, the regular eating apples. And my husband is a bit of a mad scientist. Like, he has a fermentation habit. If you can make booze out of it, he will. If it's fermentable, if it's a kraut, if anything, if it could be fermented and if it could be made into alcohol or some sort of fermented food, he'll do it. And generally with really good results. And so we got an old barrel press, and I held baby Benny in my arms, lobbed the apples into our barrel press, and Scott cranked it, and then we pressed it, and we just put a few carboys in our barn over the winter. You know, and we had done wine making and beer making before, but this was really the first time we ever tried cider. And we've had cider before, and it was just really sweet and cloying and one-dimensional and unexciting mm-hmm. for us. And you know, a couple of months later, we started sipping our ciders, and we're totally amazed. We had no idea that there could be something interesting to cider, and we got hooked pretty obsessively. Mm-hmm. So we, it just became an obsession. And my husband took cider making courses, and we started tasting traditional craft ciders from Europe and America. And that's where we really fell in love with it. Mm-hmm.
And we should say these are hard ciders, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, hard ciders, which means mm-hmm. they have alcohol.
Yeah.
And they're not cloying and sweet.
Well, that's right. And there's a difference. So, you know, before Prohibition, cider primarily meant the alcoholic beverage, you know, mm-hmm. fermented from apples. And it was after Prohibition, for the most part, that it became synonymous with juice. But when we're saying cider, we're taking the old meaning back. Yeah.
And I, mm-hmm. my understanding, and I don't have a huge depth of knowledge of this, but my understanding was this was really a common beverage for the entire family, including little kids for a long time, because water wasn't so safe to drink.
Absolutely. Yep. There was ciderkin. That was the very low alcohol version of cider mm-hmm. that they would often give to the farmhands. You know, they're out working in the field, and they'll be drinking ciderkin, and your children would drink it too. And it would be, you know, maybe a couple percent or something like mm-hmm. that. But right, it was back in colonial America, it was the most popular beverage. Uh-huh. And it has a really long and rich past in Europe and America. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to point out also that everywhere else in the world, cider refers to the fermented juice of apples. Only in America sure. do we mm-hmm. Refer to cider as sweet apple juice. Yeah. So cider, when we say cider, Ellen and I mean fermented ciders, an mm-hmm. alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm. Do you know anything, you know, some of the companies that preceded you in Sonoma County by just a few, I think there was Sonoma Cider Works, maybe? There was something someone in Forestville.
So there was Murray Cider.
Yes,
and that's
Murray Cider.
Actually our landlord.
Oh, wow.
So he sold his company to another person, Wayne, mm-hmm. who is a good colleague of ours.
Is he still producing?
A few years ago. No, okay. Chris, that's Chris Murray. He's out of the cider business. Uh-huh.
But the guy who bought the business?
So Wayne is still in business, and he's in Petaluma. Okay. Right. We just haven't talked to him for a little while, but we like to really build a nice community here mm-hmm. with cider. And so, you know, even though we don't, Jolie, Hunter, Scott and I and Benny, we hang out. We have little cider parties and tasting parties, and uh-huh. we're really working together to elevate cider here in Sonoma County. But we know a lot of the people and really like them. Mm-hmm. So Murray's was one of the original ones. He was back in 1999, I think, is when he started. And Chris came from Devon. So that's an old, you know, uh-huh. West Country of England. There was also my husband would know. Bill Rhine.
Mm-hmm. Bill Rhine is actually a really good friend of mine.
Yeah.
He's a musician who plays primarily Hawaiian music, and he keeps telling me he still has some of his cider. And he keeps saying we have to get together for a cider tasting.
They are collector's items. We would love to try some. So anytime he wants to pop a few
open, let's have a party.
I know. I think it's party time.
I will have to do that. And then do you know one who was based in Forestville? And they were trying to position cider alongside sparkling wine.
That would have been Chris Murray. Chris Murray, because he's based in Forestville.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, we took
Right.
We lease the facility for him from him. So we have the old Murray Cidery location.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And, of course, there's Ace.
No, Ace makes a sweeter cider.
Well, he just is making a different style.
Okay,
and
is that what
he's extremely popular. And the reason that I go, I sometimes forget to mention him, and no offense, is the scale couldn't be any different.
Oh, his scale is huge.
he's huge, and he's all over the country and probably international by now. And he's a totally different scale. So I'm just thinking about people on real small scale.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And then there, I think there's a couple others that are coming on the scene now, but I know the first wave would have been Ryan and Murray's.
Okay,
and there's probably a couple. We know of a couple other people who planted cider orchards with the hopes of doing commercial cider making, and it didn't work out.
Yeah. So. Now, one thing I'm curious about, do you pick, when you're going to make cider, do you pick at the same time as somebody who's going to make apple juice?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not like grapes where if you're going to make, say, champagne, you pick earlier.
Correct.
Okay, so you wait for the apple to be nice and ripe.
Right, I mean...
We want the starches to disappear. We just want it to turn into pure sugar, basically.
Okay.
Sugar and, you know, all the amazing character that that apple variety itself has.
Mm-hmm. And then do either of you do a single variety of apple? A blend of apple? Okay.
We do a Gravenstein.
Right on.
It's 100% Gravenstein. It's called Save the Gravenstein. So our whole idea behind this cider was to raise awareness of the Gravenstein apple here in Sonoma County. It has such a rich historical tradition here. For those of you all who don't know, the Gravenstein blanketed the county of Sonoma years and years ago. And now due to the importation of Chinese concentrate and low apple prices, it's not a huge industry anymore because everyone 20 years ago used to grow for processing.
Right. Yeah.
So
how about you? Do you do single variety, mixed varieties?
We do a blend. So the way we go about cider making is more of traditional style. And that is where, unlike wine, where single variety is key, you know, a single variety Pinot Noir or something like that, what we really like to do is emulate what the traditional styles are, and their cider blends. And so you'll take, you know, 8 different apple varieties, a mix of different types of categories, which I can bore you to death about it, but I think they're fascinating. They're really the vinifera of cider.
Oh, and what are those varieties?
So they're called, I'll give you some examples, bittersweets, bitter sharps, sharps, and sweets. And what we're looking for primarily is these apples with tannin content. So those are bitter sharps and bitter sweets. And most people don't even know these things exist.
No.
And the names almost sound like characters from Downton Abbey. They're like Kingston Black, Tremlett's Bitter, Ellis Bitter, Yarlington Mill. So there are a lot of old English, French, and colonial American apples. And that's what we're really looking for. That's what we're growing. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do with our cider. So we do actually a Gravenstein-based cider.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do a single variety, although Jolie's is beautiful. I mean, they do, first of all, they are fantastic apple growers. I think they're,
you guys are
amazing.
Everyone knows that in the county who loves apples.
They do, you know, and a lot
Devoto Apple Farm.
They are. It's great. And so a lot of it, just like a lot of times I speak in terms of wine because the process is really similar to wine and the growing is really similar to wine. So, you know, the people who are growing apples today, they love apples. They're not, you know, so they take a lot of pride in their apples and how they grow them. So they're going to be the best quality. And so the Gravenstein, what they do, they make beautiful cider with it. What we do is a Graviva, semi-dry, Viva la Grave is what it's short for. And it's 50% Gravenstein. So we love the crispness and the tartness and the aromatics that the Gravenstein brings. For us, it's like the party apple. It makes it really celebratory and fun and lively. And then what we like is sort of the depth that these traditional cider apples bring. Mm-hmm. So Nihu is one example. It's a French bittersweet. And so it's high tannin, low acid, and it gives it a lot more depth and structure. And then we also do some other heirloom apples to give it sort of complexity. So we really like our ciders drier, and we like them more complex. And so there are a few apples that lend themselves really well to single varieties. Actually, they do a great job. Jolie and Hunter do a great job with their Gravenstein. And a few others are like Kingston Black. That's a really good one. I think Davinet probably does a good one. There are a few other varieties. Mm-hmm. But what we're really looking for us, is like the vinifera of cider apples.
Okay. And yeah. Do you grow all of the apples that you use in your
we
cider?
Don't. Okay. We don't. We have a 2-acre cider orchard mm-hmm. at our farm. And that's not in heavy production yet. So we buy our apples, or glean them too, 100% Sonoma County apples. Mm-hmm. So DeVoto and some other great growers. Yeah.
Do you grow all that you use, or do you also outsource some?
Yes, we grow all that we use, mm-hmm. and we're growing to the point where we may have to outsource a few, possibly.
That's great. This is such good news.
But we're continuing planting trees.
Trees as well. How many acres of trees do you have?
Oh my gosh, 26 acres of apples.
And
we grow over 55 varieties. We planted an additional 30 this past year. Mm-hmm. And the 30 varieties are the varieties that Ellen was just speaking of.
Right.
And you're in West Sebastopol, right?
Exactly. Yeah. West Sebastopol.
What road are you off of?
We're off of Gold Ridge Road.
Oh, you're off of Gold Ridge. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's right. I knew that. Yeah. But just learned it today, so hadn't stuck yet. We're going to take a little musical break. It is Hawaiian music for your listening pleasure. And check your calendar about next Saturday if you want those Hapa tickets.
Buna
That, of course, the incomparable Cyril Pahanui with the song Hi'i Lawe. Beautiful song. So many wonderful versions of it. You're listening to Mouthful. We are talking about apple cider, and we are ready to taste. I can't wait. So let's start with, now this was last year's vintage?
Yes.
Okay, and this is applesauced cider?
Yes.
All Gravenstein?
Called Save the Gravenstein.
I'm going to have you pour.
Lovely. Alrighty. So as you can see, it's more of a still product than it is sparkling, and that's because we made it that way. But has very lovely acidity, nice bright acidity. The flavor of the cider sticks true to the Gravenstein apple.
I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm really, really not exaggerating. This is one of the best things I've ever tasted. This is really good.
There you go. Thank you.
You know, the only time that I'll drink apple juice, to me, it's such a child's beverage. It's so cloyingly sweet. I can't stand it. Mm-hmm. Except in really cold weather, I'll make hot apple juice. I'll put some lemon in and some spices in. And if I get it nice and hot, then I'll drink it. Mm-hmm. But I love apples, but apple juice is just too sweet. This is extraordinary.
Thank you. And also because we ferment it, so most of that sugar goes away.
You get this beautiful, beautiful flavor of apples. And nothing is tart in the way that an apple is tart. And that's here. But it's so... And you do feel that little bit of effervescence on your palate. I can even tell you why it's pleasurable if you want to get real geeky.
Geek out. Ooh, let's do it.
It impacts the trigeminal nerve.
What's that? I don't know where that is.
It's in your mouth. And I did this article a few years ago for Wine Enthusiast Magazine, and I was doing beer and cheese instead of wine and cheese. And, you know, a lot of people think that, you want something sparkling something sparkling with cheese because it cleanses your palate. And I found this guy somewhere in the upper Midwest, not Chicago, but somewhere there. And his specialty is, he has a pub or works for a pub. He's the cider, he's the brewmaster or beer sommelier or something. And he went on and on from a scientific point of view. Physiological. And he says it has nothing to do with cleansing your palate. That's maybe like 1% of it, if any. He says it's that it impacts the trigeminal nerve. The trigeminal nerve in turn sends signals of it likes to be tickled, and it impacts the brain in this way that gives pleasure. And I made my editor so happy. He called it my trigeminal touchdown.
Lovely.
So that's supposedly what bubbles are doing on your palate. But this is really, really good.
Thank you so much. Let me tell you a little bit about how we make it. So since we only make our cider seasonally when our apples are in season, we make it more like a wine than a beer. And so we press the apples and then we ferment the juice in cool stainless steel tanks. Very long, slow, cool fermentation. And then we'll bottle it. So it's much like the process of making a Sauvignon Blanc, which I think the Gravenstein emulates pretty well.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I love Sauvignon Blanc. It's these days it's been my default wine because it's just so crisp and refreshing.
Exactly.
And this has that same this is really, really good.
And this is really good with cheese. So you brought up you know, beer and cheese and wine and cheese.
Cider and cheese.
Almost argue that cider and cheese is a better pairing or best pairing. I think because we've done our cider and cheese showdown and it's fantastic for the reasons you say, for the aromatics that it brings, the mouthfeel and all those things, and the flavor profiles. It's great.
The best cheese with this is actually the Weyrich Creamery Taz cheese.
Okay, I love Weyrich. I love them.
Beautiful pairing. They're great.
I can imagine this being really good with Montgomery cheddar from England as well. It's one of those really, it's not cheddar like we think of cheddar. It's not something you would put on a cheeseburger, really, or on a grilled cheese sandwich. It's got those beautiful little crystals, you know. It's very high end. They may have it at the cheese shop. It's really coveted wine, and it's beautiful. I mean, coveted cheese. And I can see that this would be really, really lovely with
Actually had a Montgomery cheddar with some ciders. Fantastic pairing. Yes. Yeah. And what we really love is pairing it with local cheeses. You know,
Absolutely.
What grows together goes together. Sure. It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Weyrich is doing such a great job. I love their cheeses. So this is outstanding. Now, this is last year's vintage.
Yes.
This year, you may make some other. So this is Save the Grav.
This is Save the Gravenstein. And we'll be doing a couple more blends of cider. And that'll be saved for a different conversation.
Okay,
all I can say
is
that we're very excited about it.
Great. I look forward to hearing about that. So now we're going to try some of Tilted Shed.
All right.
So good.
Okay, so this is Graviva semi-dry cider.
And just to be entirely ready, I'm going to cleanse my palate with some water.
Glass for engineer Mike, please. No, don't worry, he's not drinking on duty.
This is very different. This is lovely as well, but it's, you know, this has almost a dimension of spice.
Yeah. So what you're finding here, so you're tasting the Gravenstein and what it can offer with Jolie's. And then what we're showing you is what happens when you blend it with traditional cider apples. And it's going to give it different flavor profiles that you would normally associate with maybe a white wine. Sometimes I've had people taste this, they're like, maraschino, you know, maybe stone fruit, a little fig. What is it? You know, and it's that sort of that intangible that makes people think about cider more. And this is, you know, this is just a taste of what captured our imagination and got us really into traditional ciders.
Yeah, this is lovely. Really lovely. But what I'm calling spicy elements are really different and really intriguing.
Right. And so you may be picking up on the tannins and the phenols that are a main constituent of the Nihu, which is one of our bittersweets. It's a high tannin, low acid. So it's 50% Gravenstein, and then the remainder is a blend of, you know, the Nihu, Hubbardston Nonsuch, which is an 1820s Massachusetts heirloom, a sweet, low acid, low tannin, and a few others. So my husband's a cider maker, as well as the orchardist and the delivery guy and the bottler. So we do it all by hand and in season. And so what he did was, when he was making this, was trying to come up with sort of what he thought was the most balanced cider for a semi-dry style.
Now, I think if you poured this for somebody, if you did a blind tasting, I don't think most people would pick this out as a cider.
No. No, that's, we love it because it has almost a wine-like quality.
It does, and it has some, It has some qualities, not textural, but flavor-wise, that take me to red wine.
Mm-hmm.
Especially Rhone reds.
Right.
Very much like, oh, I'm thinking Grenache, mm-hmm. Some Syrah, French, especially Syrah from France.
Right.
But those spicy notes around the edges, that's what they're evoking.
Right. And as you let this warm up, what we're really trying to educate people about cider, in as much as people, Robert Mondavi, I'm not saying I'm Robert Mondavi, but I'm just giving you an example, 40 years, 50 years ago, or 60 years ago, trying to educate people about wine appreciation here in America. And so we feel like, and I know Jolie's doing the same thing, that we're really trying to educate people to explore cider and to see that it has all these different components and all these different qualities, mm-hmm. And to take it seriously. And so mm-hmm. we like to serve this, you know, 50, 55 degrees, even a little bit warmer. Our drier ciders and the one, our Lost Orchard dry cider, which will be coming up in September, which is primarily a mix of these traditional cider apples. That one tastes great at 70 degrees.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's got a very wine-like quality to it. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to hear people get it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I don't mean to complain, but we do get people just say, I don't taste apples and it's not sweet enough. And we're just saying, well, when you drink a Russian River Valley Pinot Noir, you don't say, I want it to be sweet and taste like grapes. I mean, you're looking for a different experience.
And I think Americans, just for the most part, as we said at the beginning of the show, Americans need to be re-educated about this, because I didn't realize it had been since World War II so much, but since Prohibition, not World War II. People think cider is supposed to be sweet, and they think that cider is non-alcoholic, and then someone came along and also made some alcoholic, that it's a secondary thing, and that's not true. So I think your idea of what you want to do is proselytize a little bit and educate people. Mm-hmm. I think that's absolutely what needs to be done. And Americans, and I'm talking about probably no one who would ever listen to Mouthful, but in that broad swath of middle America, when people are introduced to new beverages, they tend to want it sweet. I mean, mm-hmm. when did wine consumption increase here? It was when somebody came up with that, not my favorite, white Zinfandel. And I mean, I've even had people in the Midwest tell me, oh no, there's a white Zinfandel grape. This is a different grape. So, you know, you have to move people up the palatability scale. Which mm-hmm. I heard once about cat food. what I heard was, once you move a cat up the palatability scale, it's hard to move them back down.
Right.
So if you've ever, you know, given your cat some really expensive cat food and then tried to follow up with cheap cat food, it doesn't work. But you do. You need to get them away from... I mean, America has, I'm sorry to say this, but in general, we have a very infantile palate compared mm-hmm. to, say, the palates mm-hmm. of Western Europe. We want things sweet.
Right.
And I don't include myself in that, but I am an American. But there's been that prejudice in our palates.
Sure.
And we're getting more sophisticated. I think now is the perfect time to be coming into the market with something like this. And it's also the perfect location.
Exactly. California is such an amazing place.
Yeah, and Sonoma County is the most amazing of all. Does mm-hmm. that make me a Sonoma chauvinist? I hope not. I hope that it's simply just true. Okay, it is 22 minutes until 8 o'clock, and I think that it is time to give away two tickets to the Hoppe concert with special hula performance. And hula lessons as well. It's taking place next Saturday in Marin County. It's very easy to get to the Osher Marin Jewish Community Center. It's a great place. I have two tickets for you. They will be available at will call. And I will take the second caller, but do not call until the music starts. So you have to call. If you call while I'm talking, you don't count. So the phone number is 584-2020. I will take 707, in case you're listening out of the area. 707-584-2020. The second caller. Cue the music. Okay, second.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Mouthful here on KRCB. Congratulations to CN Herndon of Santa Rosa, who got those Hoppe tickets. It's going to be a great show. I am talking with Jolie Devoto Wade of Applesauce Cider and Ellen Cavalli of Tilted Shed Cider Works. Yes, and we've just tasted, I don't know, would you call those your flagship ciders? Is that the right way to put it?
I would.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay, and now we have something else to taste.
Okay. And then while we're tasting this, we can also learn a little bit about apples.
Yes, we've got, you brought, looks like five or six varieties of apples.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk about that while Ellen pours?
Oh, wait, here we go. So this is our, just so you know, it's our January barbecue smoked cider.
Nice sound. Ooh. Here's my glass.
Whoops.
And I should say, before we move on to the apples, the Save the Gravenstein cider that we tasted is what, about 6% alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. And
6%.
6%. And Ellen, the one?
The Graviva is 7%.
7%. Okay. And now the smoked cider, and what's the percent on the smoked cider?
8%.
8%. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes it, what gives it that 1% boost?
Well, the higher sugars
do, okay.
And we let our ciders ferment basically to dryness, and we do not do any dilutions with juice or water or anything. Mm-hmm. We leave it in its full-bodied form, and a lot of the apples that we use, just like wine grapes from year to year, there are variations in sugars and all
sure,
of that,
okay.
And so higher sugar equals higher alcohol.
Definitely has some smoke on in the bouquet. Tell us how you smoked it.
Okay. My husband took a couple of apples from our farm, smoked them.
Oh.
And then put it in with the fermentation.
Oh.
And did a cool, slow fermentation.
Uh-huh.
We usually do 1 to 3 months of active fermentation and then aging anywhere between, 3 months to actually a year.
And what do you age in?
It depends on what we're doing, tanks or barrels.
Okay. And do you do neutral barrels or do you do...
We have neutral barrels and we're also experimenting with some different barrels as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is really interesting, the smoked cider. It makes me want Kahlua Pig right now.
You don't think of the music? Yeah.
Maybe I always want Kahlua Pig, but this would go really well with
Kahlua
Pig.
So you're bringing up a really great point, and Jolie and I talk about this all the time, is the food friendliness of the types of ciders that we do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not one for chugging a six-pack, you know, at a tailgate party or something like that. This is food-friendly, more sophisticated
Absolutely.
Cider.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And meant to be drunk in a bulbous vessel, whether it's a Belgian beer glass or wine glass.
There you go. Now, let's talk a little bit about where people find your ciders. I think Gypsy Cafe. Do they have yours?
They do. Uh-huh. Peter Lowell's Cafe also carries ours, and Andy's Market in Sebastopol.
Oh, you can buy at Andy's Market. That's great. That's great.
Yep.
And what about you, Ellen?
Well, Andy's as well.
Uh-huh.
So Andy's in Sebastopol. All three Oliver's Markets, Beercraft.
Yes, Beercraft.
Beercraft and Rohnert Park. Big thumbs up for them.
I don't know them.
Oh. Well,
amazing beer store.
Amazing.
Oh, where is it?
So they're just right up the road here, right off...
Commerce.
Oh, off Commerce Boulevard, okay.
Yeah, so they're great. And, hold on, there's a few more. Berkeley Bowl West, if you're in the East Bay at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then several places. We do several restaurants in Sonoma County.
Oh, which ones?
San Francisco. Backyard, Bravas. I'm going to have to go to my list. Go for it. Let's see. So Gypsy also carries us. Willie's Wine Bar. I mean, go to our website. We have about 25 accounts.
Oh, okay. Great.
Primarily in San Francisco, Sonoma County, and Marin, and some in the East Bay.
Okay. And so what is your website?
Tiltedshed.com.
Tiltedshed.com. And?
And you can find ours at devotogardens.com because this is our farm's farmstead cider.
Mm-hmm. And you make it at the farmstead?
No, we don't. Okay. We actually make it at a winery down the road.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Cool. There's events coming up. The main one, of course, I think, is the Gravenstein Apple Fair.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, what are the dates?
The 10th and 11th of August.
Really?
I believe, yes.
Oh, I was thinking it was the following weekend. And I really need to know this because I'm doing a cooking demo.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Get it wrong, Michelle.
I won't.
August will be close by. So the cider and wine tent will be, I guess, adjacent pretty much to the chef's tent.
You know, the dish I'm doing, I may do two. I can't remember what the second possibility is right now, but the main one I'm doing a chowder. I'm doing a smoked apple cheddar chowder. It's really...
You can't go wrong with smoked apples.
I'm going to say this... This smoked cider would go really beautifully with that.
Cool.
Really, really beautifully.
Well, we'll be there with... Jolie and mm-hmm. Hunter, and we'll have our ciders, and there's another cider maker that's going to be pouring at the cider and wine tent mm-hmm. August 10th and 11th. It's ticketed. There'll still be a ticketed tasting as well as individual tasting. Mm-hmm. So check the GrabAndSteenAppleFair.com website.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it is a hugely successful event this
year.
They
are really well organized and been very supportive of us. And
yeah, we did a show on it a few weeks ago.
Have actually changed the name of the wine tent to... Cider and wine. So
right
they're
on.
Really supporting
right on.
Local cider.
Yeah, I'm going to work something in with these ciders into my demonstration. Another thing I do, and the Save the Gravenstein cider would be perfect for this, I make a really simple sauce that is so good. I do a combination of apple juice, apple cider, and apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And I just reduce it and reduce it and reduce it with black pepper. And then I swirl in butter at the end.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, and I just butter swirled in at the end. It goes so well with a dish that is now illegal in California, foie gras. That is the best sauce with foie gras. But I also do, sometimes I would take a piece of foie gras and put it inside of a quail, a boned quail, and then just grill that quail and then put the sauce on it, and it's fabulous. Mm. It's really good. But that sauce is also really good just basted on roasted chicken.
Okay.
And then served with a cider. It's outstanding. So anyway, the Gravenstein Apple Fair, you got to go this year, 10th to 11th. I'll actually see. Next week, we're going to be talking about apples some more here in Mouthful. And I'll see if we can get some tickets to give away for that event.
Cool.
You have some other events coming up,
right, and
Ellen.
I know Jolie will want to speak as well. August 18th is a busy day for both of us, and I'll let you talk about what you're doing.
So on August 18th, we're calling all local residents who have apple trees. We are doing a project called Backyard Cider, where we glean Sebastopol residents' apples from their backyard trees.
I have apples for you.
Perfect.
Hundreds.
We'll take them. We'll
Hundreds.
Take them. And we'll be pressing them and fermenting them. So it's a true community cider blend. And then we'll be donating 100% of the proceeds from this batch of cider to Slow Food Russian River, who is responsible for Save the Gravensteins
right.
campaign and
yeah.
Raising apple awareness in Sonoma County and marketing Sebastopol as a superior or premier, however
premier.
You look at it, premier apple region in the world. So
okay, and so how does that work? If somebody wants to get involved with Backyard Cider, what do they do?
Please contact me at devotogardens@gmail.com.
So that's
D-E-V-O-T-O gardens with an S at gmail.com.
Okay, perfect.
That's the farm's email address.
Okay, great.
And then also on August 18th, after you've donated your apples, you can come to the Farm to Fermentation Festival at the Findlay Community
that's right.
Center
yes.
in Santa Rosa. And we'll be pouring our ciders at the Libation Lounge, which is going to be basically a fundraiser to support Ales for Autism, which is one of our favorite local causes.
Oh,
so
that's a new one to me. Ales for Autism.
Yeah.
Wow. Cool. I'll be getting more information from both of you because I will write about both these events my Friday column, definitely.
Perfect.
So, outstanding. Now, if people in West County can go to Andy's to buy either one of these ciders,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they can go to Oliver's, all three Oliver's markets, one in Cotati, two in Santa Rosa. Tom Scott, general manager of Oliver's, was our guest last week. Let's say somebody just can't get to Oliver's, can't get to Andy's. Can people contact you directly, Jolie?
Yes.
Okay. So they can visit the farm. And is that also true? I know
we can't sell it on the farm, but we can work something out.
Yeah. Do you sell apples from the farm?
We don't have a farm stand. Okay. We do visits by appointment only.
Okay, but you can do visits.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, and by appointment.
You don't sell at any of the local farmers markets. What's the closest farmers market to Sonoma County that you attend?
Probably the San Rafael Civic Center farmers markets on both Thursdays and Sundays.
And that's a great market. Mm-hmm. The traffic really isn't bad, you know, on those days. You know, you wait until after commute traffic, and it's a pretty easy trip down and back.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And what about you, Ellen? If somebody can, someone contact you and ask if you can mail them, you know, a case of cider?
We are not able to do the shipping. There's a whole set of logistical nightmares that go with that. But one of our accounts in San Francisco, the Jug Shop, which is on Pacific, they do shipping to 40 states.
Oh, cool.
US. So, and they carry our ciders, every one that we release. And so you can just go to their website and actually order it online that way.
The Jug Shop.
The Jug Shop.
That's great. And on that note, we are just about out of time. Let me remind you that should you be interested and free next Friday night, I'm doing a dinner at DeVero Tasting Room. It's at 766 West Side Road. It's a wonderful location. It's small, intimate, really fun, and really delicious. And if you want information about that, just go to DeVero, DAVERO.com. And then meet me back here next Sunday for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour here on KRCB. Have a great week.
This story, well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page. Time for dinner now.